This Do Lectures episode features founder and CEO of Giphy, Alex Chung, recorded live at the global event in Cardigan, West Wales in 2017.
So my name's Alex Chung, not Alexa Chung, about 50%. if you Google me, you'll probably find her. 50% of people who invite me to things think I'm her. So if you're expecting her, I'm sorry. The funny thing is, we used to work together at MTV, and so I would get all of her email, which was kind of, we had some words once. She's really cool. Okay, so I'm the founder and CEO of Giphy. I'll tell you all about that in a second. If you don't know what that is, that's cool. My mom doesn't know what it is either. I'm from New York City right now. It's a little crazy. New York is one of those places where you go for 2 years and you think you're gonna, funny story about New York, when I was first in New York, I was like, oh, New York's cool, there's this park. And there are all these like squirrels running around, and then you look closer, and then they're rats. You're like, what am I doing here? I first got a degree in philosophy. I couldn't get a job. If you can't get a job in philosophy, I don't know why they even make that a major. So then I had to go back. I got this luck. I was a little lucky. My dad gave me a Commodore 64, so he gave me this thing, and I actually never even signed up for an engineering degree. I just ended up taking enough classes that I had one at the end, which was kind of amazing. I also did shut down, oh, this is a random story. One of my friends back in the days, she sent me like 50 email, and if you had that limit, it stopped you. And so I wrote a quick program to send her a million email, and then and I hit go, and then it shut down not only our school, but the neighborhood's entire email system for a week. And then I had faked it from coming from New Zealand, because I was like, no one's gonna hate New Zealand people because they're so nice. But then they called me into the office and said, hey, we don't know what happened, but you were the last person to log in the entire city. And I was like, oh, that was me. And they said, don't do that again. I went to school, I dropped out, after I graduated, I went back to school. What got me to New York is design school, mostly because as an engineer, people just think you're an Asian engineer and not cool in whatsoever. And so anytime I said anything about anything, they were like, you're an engineer, what do you know? And so I had to go drop out and then go back to design school for a couple years. I did fashion school for a year as well. Until my mom was like, why are you paying to train to be working at a sweatshop? And I was like, oh, because she had like worked as a seamstress for 20 years. And she's like, what are you doing? Went to film school for a year, dropped out too. It's just a perpetual story of dropouts. And film school just makes you pretentious. I was on the college snowboard team. It was back in the day when we didn't have helmets. That's probably why I sound like a stoner Californian. I teach fight classes. We did jujitsu later. Anyone who cares, I'm a black belt under the Gracie Baja team out of Brazil. So startup life, I've been doing startups since 1997. I've done about 12 so far. Half of them failed miserably. Half of them actually did pretty well. Went through Y Combinator, hung out with all those people. Was an engineer at Intel. I used to work on music videos at MTV for a while, and then I used to work at Paul Allen's research lab as a researcher for a bit. But what I really do is I make ideas, and I'll get into what that means in a second. Don't really know. Yeah, my mom still really doesn't know what I do. Try to explain what a GIF is to a 65-year-old Korean woman. Not gonna happen. Most of them fail, so that's another thing. They're mostly all bad ideas. One good idea, except for some of the hate mail I get about destroying the internet and people's attention span, is Giphy. So Giphy was the first ever search engine for GIFs. These are all GIFs. If you've ever seen a moving looped image, these are GIFs. So we end up distributing most of the GIFs on the internet. So just our numbers. We have 200 million people that show up every day. That's the size of most like big countries. That's like every day. We spend about 4 billion GIFs every day. Ends up being about 4 million hours of content that people watch. And we have 100 people in New York and LA working on this. They're not all, like people think, oh, like, you know, like you're one guy in a basement like watching a bunch of funny cat GIFs, which is like what we do a lot. We have a lot of cat GIFs. But really, you know, our mission really is, which seems kind of weird when we talk about it, it's really to make everything move. And why is that? Because animated is one of our values. Like, animated brings things to life, right? try to explain what a giraffe is to a kid without actually showing how weird it walks. Like, how does this, like, you wouldn't, no one would think this was real. I don't know, I've never seen a giraffe, so maybe they're not real. So that, because the internet really is a really cold, humanless place, you know, like, people talk about the internet, and like, what is the internet? And when you think abstractly about what the internet is, the internet is just a transcoding of everything in the world online, digitally. So we're taking everything around here, every person that you see, every encounter of humanity, farms, cows, and we're converting them online, which is like a really weird thing. So it's just turning into a bunch of text. And you know, literature has gotten us a really long way, but how can you convert all of the humanity into this? And we've thought for the longest time that this was the way, that this is the best we can do. But it turns out that, you know, there's like math formulas on this, that text and words are a really bad compression format for like everything and everyone, right? Like, how do you convert this, you know, and like this, like the tragedy of life, like the whatever. And sometimes I'm like, I know he won because I saw this game, but then I'm like, but maybe he's not that happy. How do you convert, like, you know, we try. This? How do you write about this, right? So our mission really is, we want to bring humanity back to information. So Giphy really, in the very beginning, was a project to start a humanist search engine. It's really about how do you create a search engine that's not Google, that's text, that's made by algorithms, but you curate everything in the world and convert and make that indexable to real humans, right? Like, how do you create something that describes every piece of the human condition? And GIFs was just the medium that we could use right now to start indexing, because we have the technology. But what I really want to talk to you about right now is the poetry of ideas, which may not really make sense. It didn't make sense 2 weeks ago. but I'm going to try to explain it. So this is what I do, which is what I found out. So poetry comes from the Greek word poesis, which is kind of awesome when you look it up, which just means to make or create. Like, it's not actually that difficult. So poetry is to create or make. And so Wikipedia says, you know, the activity in which a person brings something into being that did not exist before. So this is, poetry is all about creating and making something new that never happened before. And of course, like, poetry is usually assigned to words because that was our first medium. It was oral and then written. And so that was our really first creative medium that we could express ourselves. You know, poetry really was the first art form. And then since then, we have, and you know, words were like the first medium of choice, but since then we have a lot of different mediums, right? So that's poetry. We'll go to ideas. So ideas, this is like Maximum Hasselhoff. So ideas really are, it's from the Greek for form or pattern, idea. Oh, you're just getting it now, okay. And it comes from the word idea, which is to see.
Stop.
It just can't stop, sorry. You can't stop the Hasselhoff. So really, ideas are just seeing patterns in nature. It's seeing you're creating abstractions, you're seeing forms and patterns and things. A lot of the talks that we've heard about are people really having ideas, but they're just realizing the certain configurations and patterns in the world. So really, art and poetry are just making ideas. They're just seeing patterns in the world and then labeling them as something, right? This is a friend of mine. This is, she calls this the zero-sum game diet or something. The whole thing is you're working out, but at the same time you're eating just enough calories to cancel out the workout. So my art teacher said, good art is an unexpected moment of delight, which is totally right. Like, a good idea is also an unexpected moment of delight. This guy, he made a machine to feed him tomatoes while he ran. So, you know, if poets are just artists with words, you know, and, got stuck. There's this thing in common with poets that I found, you know, they just need to explore. They're really pushing the boundaries. They're just explorers, just like anyone in Star Trek, except not as cool. Or maybe really cool, depending on who you are. But when you look at most of the artists that I know, they spend, the one thing that's in common is they're mostly loners. They spend a lot of time alone, like by themselves. Like you think about the classical like 20s and 30s like art person. They're just like babbling to themselves. They're a little crazy, right? They swear a lot. Like most of the artists I know just swear a lot. They don't shower. Like if you've, if you've ever, this is a rabbit chilling out. So most of the artists I know in Brooklyn just don't shower. It's like a, and that's why they're just smelly Brooklyn artists, right? They're super antisocial. Most of the creative people in the world I know just don't like hanging out with people at all. And you know, it's weird because in New York we're surrounded by a lot of artists, but right, artists used to be known as the outcasts. You know, they were the nerds, the geeks of their time. They weren't cool. They died poor. They was like starving like an artist. That was like because no one liked them and no one would give them money, right? And so now, when we think about who are these geeks, you know, who are these people now? And I'm gonna argue that it's not Silicon Valley now. This is like a little bit longer of an argument because I lived in San Francisco for 7 years. Please don't live there. It's a horrible place. But what we have now is we have this. You know, if poetry was started from this form of words and ideas, now we have all these mediums. We have slacklining. We have crazy things, right? There are people, everyone is out there doing something and making something. I'm going to specifically talk about my group of people, which are these hacker people. So hackers are artists. You know, like when you think about what all these people are doing with code, they're just creating things, new ideas that have never been done. You know, when I think about when people talk about hackers, and this kind of, you know, I'm a programmer now, designer, programmer. And I think artists, you know, they were the hackers back then. They took whatever medium and technology they had, which, you know, mediums are just technology, right? So they took that and they broke it. And then they found all the things they could do with that medium. Like they jumped out of plane. They did crazy things, right? Like they painted, Picasso did like a bunch of, like they were hacking their system. And right now the current group of people in the world, or it's programming is like such a thing, right? Like, so I look at someone like this, and I'm like, well, if I saw him in Brooklyn, I wouldn't know if he was a painter or if he was a hacker. And they both smell pretty bad. I have a lot of artist friends, and I'm like, I can't, because you guys all smell. Because they all do it for the love and the art of their medium, right? So it's kind of trying to get to this point of mediums really, you know, be it words or anything else, really transcode what your ideas into some kind of reality. Because like I said, mediums are just technology. You know, we had the printing press, we had words. Now, you know, then we had paint. Now we have motion graphics that people can use. So you see this whole wave of GIF artists coming in. You have code. And so if, you know, poetry, the medium there is words. You know, painters, the medium is paint. Hackers, people who program, the medium is code. There's 50 million lines of code in Windows. This is like Windows 95 even. And I've read lots of it. Did some work for Microsoft. And there is like, that's hundreds of thousands of books. And there is like when you read people, and there are more programming languages in existence than human languages ever existed. And so people are writing novels in there, and you can read through when people are having a bad day and they're trying to express themselves. Most of the code doesn't even work. I think some Microsoft engineers put an entire video game in Microsoft Excel. You should look that up. There's like some weird cell. If you put some code in, this video game comes up because it was a way for them to escape from their horrible world of working on spreadsheets. So the conclusion is, and then I'm going to get into something a little crazy, is we're all makers. Like, we make things. Like, everyone here makes things, but everyone in the world makes things, right? This guy is awesome. If you look around and see all the things that we make, chairs, houses, cars, it's kind of incredible that as a species, we have this innate need to make things. And that's kind of amazing, right? It's like built in us. If you just give us an empty field, we will grow things and build things. And just like, you give someone a parachute and they're gonna jump out of it, you know? Or jump, hopefully, with it. So, you know, my argument is that we're all poets in some way. You know, poets just had words, but there are, technology has opened up all the types of mediums, right? And so, be it bread making, you know, like a wrestling, all of the talks we had, I would argue that everyone here is a poet who talked in some way. And they all have different mediums, which has been really interesting to see and kind of hear, like, the same ideas keep coming, but everyone has a different medium of which to express it. And some of us, you know, I think a lot of people in the room are just looking for their medium of which to express themselves, to express some of their ideas. Because ideas, you know, are just really human, right? Like, why do we come up with these things? Because we are, like, ridiculous. Like, we have so many ideas we want to talk about. You know, ideas are forever. They go infinitely. It's not really about thinking different. I don't think you need to think different. I think you have to think beyond different. Like, you have to think of something new. Even all the Apple products, they weren't really new. They were just kind of reinventions of things. So the challenge is really thinking of something that's never really been thought of before, which is, again, the definition of poetry. It's like, can you think of something new that has never been thought before? And then you're in a situation where then that becomes magic, right? He's like the funniest dude. And so for me, creating an idea that's never existed ever is one of the most beautiful things that humans can do. And that's, like, for me, what the essence of poetry really is about. It's the beauty of the idea that has been put out into the world as reality, right, through some medium. So I'm just going to go, so this is like a little experimental thing. I'm just going to read you some of the last ideas I've been working on, and let's see what you guys think. Okay. These aren't as cool as Dominic's. So let's see if any of this works. I'm calling this a little stand-up poetry. Okay, chocolate chip cookie mug, right? It's a chocolate chip cookie you compress into a mug, you pour milk in it so you don't have to dip, and then you eat the whole thing. Yeah? Okay, crouton salad bowl. You take a big crouton, you cut it out, put Caesar salad in it. Okay, that doesn't work. Okay, and then eat it all. The Harry Potter Chinese restaurant where every pair of chopsticks casts a spell. Maybe you have to be Asian for that one. Divorce courting, a dating app. I'll get into apps now. A dating app for recently divorced people? No. Okay. Birthday app. So this is, when it's your birthday, you download this app and it tells you what all the other people who have the same exact birthday in the city are, so that you can all get together and hang out. And then bar owners can then give specials for them to come over to your bar, right? No. Okay, maybe not. So parking tickets. This is kind of an evil one. Crowdsource parking tickets. So you let everyone, instead of Instagram, you let everyone have this app that you get, you have them take pictures of people with expired meters, and they get 50% of the cash. Yeah. Oh, right? So I don't know if you have that. Yeah, I know. Don't hate me if someone makes that. These are all free. I have a whole other list of things that aren't free. These are to the world. That's why they're kind of garbage. So I don't know if you have Alexa here. Alexa's really big in the US. So Alexa for dating. So you're like, it's like a voice recognition for dating. I'm like, why hasn't someone created an app where I talk to and it talks back to me, hey Alexa, how are you doing tonight? And then it kind of trains you to get to a successful date. Yeah. Or if you want to not date, then it could teach you Spanish or French. Why don't we have, like, why has no one created interactive language Alexa? Hey Alexa, and then you try to speak in French, and then if she recognizes what you says, but she kind of doesn't recognize English most of the time. Agoraphobia, the fear of bunny fur? No. Okay. The Amnesia Club, where everyone is a member, they just don't remember. No, that's not working. Okay, so in the US you have Republicans, which are elephants, and Democrats, which are donkeys. Like, two animals, maybe you want to be an elephant, but two animals you don't really, no young kid, no millennial kid wants to be an elephant or a donkey. And we know we need another party, so Republicans, Democrats. Republicats, the first internet cat party. I guarantee you, if someone starts this party, every hipster kid in Williamsburg will be a part of it. What about, like, a kite park? This is one thing that I've always wanted to do, is build a park that has a huge jet engine in it so that you can turn it on and you can always fly a kite.
Why don't I, we have tennis lights? Why not jet engine airline? What's that? Oh, that has that's exists in France?
Indoor, okay, sure, yeah.
Outdoor though.
Indoor.
I need to be outdoor. What if you hit the ceiling? Okay. But I would like to see this. Okay, Grant, I only got a couple more, and then I still have like a minute. Oh no, I'm over a minute. 2 minutes. So grandparents, so senior citizens. I used to work at a senior center for a couple years. They're just bored all day. And then you have all these parents now that work a lot, and their kids are just bored. So you make this app, iPhone app, where you just pick your grandparent, it rings into a senior center, and they just read a story. Like, why can't we connect the people who really want to tell stories with the people that really want to listen to stories most? This one, no one will like this one, but okay, I don't know if you have Seamless here. Seamless is like the number way to order takeout in the US. You click and then someone just shows up with food. And then, so Seamless for Halloween kids, so trick-or-treating. So instead of having your kids trick-or-treat, they get other kids to go trick-or-treat for them and order delivery. I don't know. So some more serious ideas we've been thinking about, or I guess not, I say we, like there's a lot of people, but just me. So people like Zuckerberg and everyone in Google are trying to figure out how to get everyone connected on the internet with flying drones and weather balloons. And I was like, and now, you know, satellites are probably the best solution, but you really, if you just think about the Postal Service has been going for thousands of years, and the Postal Service hits every, like you can send a letter to the middle of nowhere and it will show up. So we were designing in this lab, or I guess I'm just designing in this lab, Wi-Fi repeater envelopes. So what you do is you put these into the Postal Service, and as people who aren't connected, which is about 60% of the world, you allow them to connect locally to their Postal Service and download their email and get their news as the mail carrier walks through the village. So you can already take advantage of the current Postal Service, and it's like 50 cents to mail one of these things. It doesn't cost $100 million in research and a lot of government grants. So self-driving cars. So we have self-driving cars. People are trying to make self-driving boats, mostly for yachts. But we have this big desalinization problem. One of the new cutting-edge ways of desalinizing water is freezing it. So why not self-driving boats that take water from the ocean that are solar-powered and go up to the Arctic, freeze the water to desalinate them, and then self-drive back to areas that need fresh water. All off the, you can do this free off the sun. We have the technology. Oh, clear printers? Why hasn't someone made a clear printer? Like what you can actually see where the paper's jammed? Why are they gray? Noise conditioners. You have air conditioners? Why not? So New York is a noisy, noisy place. It's mostly people swearing outside. So air conditioners condition the air. Noise conditioners, it's the box you put on your window, and it converts all the sounds of ambulances into large whales and people yelling into like little birds. Need those in New York. The day after pack, this is, you end up for whatever reason you wake up, go to the corner market, you buy this little pack, comes with a pair of sunglasses, a Metro card, a t-shirt, and a toothbrush. Those should be everywhere, maybe. That might be enough. Ooh. Oh, I do. Yeah, I probably should have needed the good boyfriend app. It's an if for all the or a husband app. It's an app you download and just text your girlfriend every once in a while with like really cool things. And then just says uh-huh when you get text back. Yeah, that's probably why I don't have a girlfriend. Okay, maybe that's enough. I think I'm over now, but thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.